Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
Talking about for the past, month now, we've been talking about this. And what we've been doing is we've talked about this new normal, that God has created us. He has put us here for a reason, and that there's a standard of living that he wants us to live by. And so often we're kind of falling short. We're kind of running on empty, and we're coming up short of everything that he's created us for. And the idea is, as Christians, we know we should be different. What we talked about is this whole idea that if we're as Christians supposed to be different, then why do we not look different? If we as Christians are supposed to be different than everybody else, then why aren't we really looking different? Why aren't we really seeing different? And the thing is, God says, we talked about this the first week, be holy, which means set apart, right, as I am holy, right? Be holy as I am holy. And if God says, you got to be set apart, then why as Christians do we sometimes look exactly like the person next to us that's living by the world standards, right? We've talked about how we all fall into this trap of just saying one thing but doing another, right? 1 Peter 1, verse 16, I loved it. It says, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and, catch this, blazing with holiness. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. Man, how awesome is that to think of God, would you pull us into a life that's blazing with holiness? Some of you guys are the most boring Christians, and it's no wonder no one wants to come to church with you because you're like, ooh. Yeah, I love Jesus. Yeah. People are like, what the? I don't want anything to do with that. And so God's saying, man, I've energized you. I've put you here for a reason. Why not be excited that the creator of the universe actually created you for something, right? And so it says, man, be blazing with holiness. Live life energetic. And we talked about this the first week, that you can't expect God to do something incredible in your life and expect your life to be living to the full and expect your life to be all that it's supposed to be when you're accepting the social norms of everyday life. When you're accepting what other people are saying, hey, everybody's doing it. When you're accepting, hey, Donnie, it's just kissing. Hey, Donnie, it's just words. Hey, they know that I'm kidding. When you're accepting these things of, oh, hey, it's not that big of a deal. You're right. It might not be that big of a deal. But in every conversation you have, in every interaction you have with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend, in every conversation you have with your siblings or your parents, guess what? You have an opportunity to either push them away from Jesus or pull them closer to Jesus. And I've been so smacked upside the head with understanding that all of a sudden, my sarcasm, and some of you guys have kid around with me, and I love to use sarcasm, but all of a sudden I realize that when I start to use sarcasm, yeah, you guys might know that I'm kidding, but have I really shown you the love of the creator of the universe? Even though it's like, oh, that's just Donnie, he's his buddy, he's just kidding around. Yeah, I am kidding around, but have you really experienced, have you gone away from me experiencing the love of a creator? And I think about that, it's like, man, I need to be more intentional about every conversation I have, because you can only expect what you accept, right? And so 2 weeks ago we talked about, we got off the topic of just saying, all right, identify what are you accepting in your life as social norms that doesn't really line up to what God has, right? What are you accepting? That was the first week. The following week was talking about, all right, what is God's norms? What are some things that we do need to be accepting? And we looked at the story of Gideon, right? Gideon was the biggest loser. Like, not like the one that gets a lot of money and liposuction at the end of the show, but the biggest loser as in the guy that no one wanted to be around, right? His family was like the biggest loser family of Israel, and out of that family, he was the biggest loser of his family. Like, no one liked Gideon. And all of a sudden, Gideon's like hiding away. And all of a sudden, God shows up. He's like, hey, mighty warrior. Who, me? Right? And it's like this idea that sometimes we feel like, God, I understand that you have plans for my life and you're doing some stuff in some other people's lives, but you don't know my stuff. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. And we started thinking about, we saw that Gideon was hated by everyone. And then within a couple verses, all of a sudden, everyone started following Gideon into battle against the enemy. Hundreds of people. Thousands of people, in fact, to the point where God said, man, your army is too big. They're going to think that they did this and not me. That many people decided to follow Gideon. What happened? Just a few verses. And it said this. Judges 6, verse 34, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. What happened to where you say, man, I'm the only Christian. Donnie, I don't even know if I'm really that much of a Christian. I'm the only guy that kind of shows up to church at my school. And no one really likes me. To flash forward a couple verses later, the entire school is now won over and going after God, and they all point to you as their leader and say, man, I can't believe how awesome is he, and just let's go after him as he goes after God, and let's just do that. Right? How sweet would it be if our whole schools, like, turned into Christian schools not because all of a sudden, like, curriculum started coming out with, we got to be Christian, but because they just became Christian, because they said, you know what, we need to follow after God. We need to have a God problem at this school, right? We need to just infuse the school with God. What if your school started to do that? What happened between those few verses? And it says, the Lord took possession of Gideon. And see, when the Lord gets a hold of you, all of a sudden, something incredible can happen. And we use the analogy of the coat, right? Because in the original language, it talks about possession. You know, it means that you own it, you take ownership of it. I own the coat. The coat doesn't own me, right? And I had the coat, and I was like, hey, watch, this coat can do incredible things. And, like, try to make the coat walk to the back of the room and, like, wave its hands. But the coat can't do diddly squat without me in it. And we talked about the whole idea that God said, what they're talking about in Judges 6, it says that God wore Gideon like a coat. So where God went, Gideon went. And so what God spoke, Gideon spoke. And all of a sudden, that is the difference between being the, I'm the only guy that kind of shows up to church and I love Jesus, and being like, dude, my entire class got saved and they're going on a missions trip this next summer and they're getting radical and they're going after all these other people and they're starting to talk to our teachers about Jesus. And that's the difference, is when you start to realize that, God, take possession of me. God, would you wear me like a coat? Would you wear me to where you go, I go? Just like that song that we sang last week or a couple weeks ago. Man, where you go, I go. What you say, I want to say. So often we get in this whole thing of, God, would you just be on my words? God, would you just anoint what I'm doing? God, would you just be with me as I'm going out? And I get caught in that. We're inviting God to come along with us. And that's great and all, but we're missing it. We're missing what God wants to do. And God's saying, listen, I got this heart for the people more than you will ever have the heart for them, Donnie. Why don't you get along with my vision instead of trying to get me aligned with yours? Why don't you realign yourself with my heart and my vision, and all of a sudden let me wear you, Donnie, instead of you trying to wear me? Because amazing, incredible things happen when we allow God to work in us and through us. So we got to stop asking God to join us on our quest and start joining God on his mission. We said a couple weeks ago that we can't do anything of value without him inside of us. And we started saying, how do we figure out what it means to have God inside of us? What does it mean to have God wear us like a coat? And we said that we had a bunch of balloons, remember? And there's scripture in each of those balloons. And there are some balloons, though, that didn't have any scripture inside of them. And we're saying sometimes we hold on to these truths, these normals, the social normals, and we say they're the same thing. Hey, it's a balloon. But inside is completely different. And so we got to do some work to stand, and some of us stand and stomped on our balloon, and then it popped, and then we were literally standing on God's promises. But this idea of we got to work to know, what are we holding on to? Are we holding on to some social norms, or are we holding on to God's normal? Are we really doing this new normal? Because that's what we're getting to, and this next phase is getting kind of, it's a chapter in the new normal book of, and there's not a book, I'm just analogizing, if that's a word. We're going to be talking about less of me and more of you, God. Less of me and more of you, God. And how do we get to that point? How do we get to this point of saying less of me and more of you? And how do we get to the point of saying, God, I want your power inside of me? 1 Peter 1 verse 3 said, his divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness. And then last week, DYD Pastor Tom came and he spoke and he said this line, because he was the one that originated this whole idea of the new normal. And he said this line that was incredible. It says, the new normal is transformed faith colliding with spirit-led action. Transformed faith colliding with spirit-led action. And he looked at the book of Haggai, and there was a key verse in there, 1 verse 9. It says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. Talking about these Israelites, were all about building up their own self and building up their own thing and thinking that they had done it all right, and yet they neglected the very thing that God wanted for them. They neglected their relationship with God. And so often we get so consumed with, did I show up to church? Did I pray? Did I read the Bible? Did I do this? And sometimes it just gets dull and boring. It's like, ah. And guess what? We talked about that verse earlier. Your life with God should never be dull and boring. If it is, you're missing something. Because God wants to fill your life. He wants to energize it. And it wants to blaze with holiness. Right? And so we talked about that whole idea that, man, we can try to do this life and live it good, but without God, it comes to little or nothing. It doesn't really do anything for us. And Pastor Tom ended last week with Matthew 22, verse 37, and that's kind of where we're going to pick up, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Because that's where it all starts. It's to love the Lord your God with everything that's within you. Right? And so the new normal is all about letting the dead things stay dead. Right? It's about the difference between alive and dead. Right? The difference between old and new. And say, you know what? There is a difference between something that's old, and there is a difference between living for God fresh and anew, and not just holding on to the old stuff. And so I actually got the opportunity and the pleasure of actually getting to interview Haley here, and she got to share her testimony, and we put this together, and I'm not a great video editor, and I don't have a lot of graphic skill, and it was all filmed on an iPad and edited on an iPad. Now, that's just talent. I don't care who you are. Right? When your touchscreen keeps chopping up things and you keep like backpedaling, and then, oh, it's just horrible. Super annoying. Thanks. It took me like 3 hours to do that. It was ridiculous. But needless to say, man, Haley was bold enough and brave enough to allow me to interview her a little bit. And so we'll show a clip of what that is and just realize that, man, we are being transformed. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has a story of you know, the old us and the new us, and to see what God is doing. So let's go ahead and show that video.
Like your story.
So when I was like younger, when I started in eighth grade, like I started to get bullied pretty bad, and so like I always like listen to what people told me, and I started to believe what people were telling me, and I always thought I wasn't good enough, so that began like self-harm and wanting to kill myself and all that kind of stuff. And then it started to get a little better, and then I relapsed and it got worse, and then I went to Laurelwood and then I got better, but then I relapsed and I got way worse. I would like have to drag myself out of bed to go to school, and I was like terrified of going to school. So I was afraid of what people would say to me, and I always cared so much, and I would actually like lie a lot of times to my parents. I'd say, oh, I'm sick, I can't go to school. I would lie, and I'd say, oh, I threw up last night, I can't go to school, just so I wouldn't have to. And I missed probably like 2 months of school just from lying and saying I was sick. And
then, what do you think that you relapsed?
Well, as soon as I like was feeling a little better, I just stopped trying to keep being better. Like, I would just be like, okay, now I'm better, everything's gonna be fine. And I never really held on to anything that was really meaningful. I got way worse, and I had planned to kill myself. So I went to Laurelwood, and I had to stay overnight this time for a week. I brought my Bible with me, and I just started reading that and talking to God, and surprisingly enough, he actually, like, answered me. And it was pretty cool, because I was like, wow, I'm not alone, and somebody's there for me. He was here for me all along, but I just didn't give him a chance. That's when I met Erin. She's like, come youth group, you like it. I was really nervous. I was like, okay. So I came one day, the first day I come, I'm like pretty much dressed up for like a wedding. And when I came, like the very first day I came, you preached about not being good enough and like feeling like the only way you can feel better is suicide, and like how God has always been there for you. And I was just freaked out because I was like, I've been praying for this, like praying for a sign. I mean, I still have my days where I get really depressed, but I'm able to control it better because I know if I just pray to God and I ask him, God, I can't do this, so you have to help me. I'm weak and you're the one that I live for. Like, he's there for me. And I just think it's so awesome. So no matter what the circumstances, I'm always going to put God first. I have to put God first because he's dying on the cross for me and he's the reason I live for. And I can't let what people say to me and peer pressure, other little things like that, I can't let that control me. I have to stay focused on the one that I love and I want to live for. I feel his presence upon me, and that is so encouraging to me. Like, I know he's real. Most importantly, you have to talk to God. That is the most important thing you can do, because he will be the light to your darkness. He'll dig you out of your hole. He'll just be there for you. And I love God and all he's done for me, because I wouldn't be here without him. Okay. I am the new normal.
Awesome. Let's give it up for Haley. Thank you, Haley, so much for doing that. And one thing that wasn't on that video that is so key, though, that she said in our time that we were talking was, she goes, there came a point where I was more afraid of living than I was of dying. There came a point where I was so afraid of living than I was of dying because of the issues that I was having, because of my self-worth, of where I found myself. And that's so key, because so many of us find ourselves in that same situation. Find ourselves struggling with, man, I don't know what the next day is going to hold. And I'm just so tired of living this way. And so that's so powerful, because I love what she said. You know, I'm just going to love God. I'm going to put him first no matter what. There's no option, right? I got to do that. Because we know, she knew the other spectrum, the other side. It's like, no, that's not an option anymore for me. And so this all goes back to our identity. And if we're going to start protecting ourselves from these lies that we hear from this standard and this world's normal, if we're going to start protecting ourselves and saying, no, God, I want to focus on you. I want to love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, everything, all my mind, everything within me. If I'm going to do that, and I don't want to let it just be what I say, but I want it to be what I mean in the way that I live my life, then we got to realign ourselves and relook at how we view our relationship with God, because it all goes back to identity. It all goes back to understanding who we really are. And I know I've talked about this so many times. I know I've talked about this a lot with understanding who we are and who God has called us to be. But this is so crucial because this is the biggest ploy that Satan wants to get at us with. Because so often we buy into, and I've talked to so many different teenagers that say, you know what, Donnie, I'll get involved in church and I'll come to church and stuff when I get my life together. When I get rid of all the junk that I've been doing, when I kind of cipher through all of that, when I get my life together, I'll be at church. I'll go after God, but I gotta first get my life together, because we don't understand truly who we really are, and we're missing it. We're missing it. And so I want to help visualize kind of what we should be doing, and that's kind of what is on your note sheets there. And I'm gonna learn you something here. That's Kansas talk for teach you. And this is, by the way, I am not a teacher, so I have horrible handwriting when it comes to whiteboards, but this is the best way that I could do this. I think we can all, I'll start with here, agree. Everyone know what that is?
Triangle.
Okay, good. So I'm not that bad of an artist. And you guys have all passed preschool. So here's the thing. I think we can all agree that we are God's children, right? We're God's children. It says throughout Scripture, throughout Romans, it talks about how we are his children. And it even goes on to say that we, in Galatians, that we are adopted by him. That we are his sons and daughters. When we make the declaration that he is Lord of our life, we are his sons and daughters. And so if we're his children, that means that he is our Father, right? So Father God. So that's at the top there. And then out of that Father becomes where we find our identity. Identity. Okay, if you're following along on your notes, it would be the left side, and it's on those few blanks right there. And then out of our identity comes what we do, right? Obedience. It becomes what we do. And so, I misspelled identity, didn't I? Whoop. Identity. That doesn't look right either. Okay. When you start spelling, you start realizing everything's wrong. This is a scary thing for me. But here we go. So, see, what we're talking about here is we have this relationship with God, God our Father. And with our relationship with God, God calls us his children. And that's what that other blank there is children. Or you can fill it in with identity, whatever you want. Really, those notes are for you to write this whole thing down if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. If you're confused, just pay attention and stop writing. All right? So here's this thing. When we start, and we got to work in a clockwise manner, that's why it's there. And this is how we build relationship. Right? This is how we build our relationship with God, is by working in this clockwise manner here. And so, because of God and his love for us, guess what? The only way that we can find our identity and who we are as children, when we say, God, we want to follow you, and we want to make you Lord of our life. He said, man, that's great. I want to be Lord of your life, but I don't want to just be your Lord. I want to be your Father. I want you to be my sons, my daughters. And we did nothing to deserve that. And so what that is grace. That's only by God's grace that he calls us his children. We did nothing to deserve it. Nada. And I want you to catch this, because there's someone else in the Bible that was one of God's children. His name was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Catch it, right? But in this, I want you to see that here, before Jesus ever did this obedience thing, which I would talk about, you know, his public ministry, before he did anything for God, guess what? God came down in a river, right, when he got baptized and said, you can read it in Luke, it says, this is my what? Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Before Jesus did any of this. And I'm telling you, tonight, this is going to make a huge difference in some of your lives. Because God's coming down here and saying, this is my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. But I'm pleased with you as my sons and my daughters. And so all of a sudden, we understand that it's nothing that we did to receive this. It's all by God's grace that he's given this to us. And he bestows this identity on us. And so because we have this identity as children of God, as children of the Most High Father, we all of a sudden have this thing called freedom. Freedom. Right? We have this thing called freedom. Because this freedom, and a lot of people say, oh, church is all about the do's and the don'ts, and don't wear this, oh, how could you wear that, and oh my goodness, you know, do you know what she wore? Do you know what they said? We have an outreach at Heritage Middle School, and people always, some of the students come up to me, and they're like, do you know what they just said to me? I'm like, oh boy. Because all of a sudden, it's all about the do's and the don'ts of what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say. If you love Jesus, you're not allowed to do all this. And so we think it's all these rules. But really, in all actuality, living for God and being one of his children, understanding that that's our identity, that frees us up from a whole heck of a mess. All of a sudden, we have this freedom to live life full. And that's what obedience is over here. It's living life full. And some of you guys can't see this all the way back here, but that's okay. So all of a sudden, this obedience is all about living life full. It's all about understanding that, man, this is how we're called to live, that we're living this life energetically blazing with holiness, because we're moving from identity of understanding, God, it's only by your grace that you say that I'm one of your kids. I can't do anything to earn that identity. And because I know that I'm a child of the Most High God, I have freedom to live like you want me to live. To live the way that is fulfilling and peaceful and brings me closer to you. And when we start to live that way, we start, pardon me, we start to realize that the way that we live brings love and is the only way that we can really bring glory to God. And so all of a sudden, when we start living life to the fullest because of the freedom that we find in the identity of who we are with Christ, we start giving him all the glory, we start giving him all the love and passion, we start living life full. We start loving him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, all our strength. That's the only way that we can do this. And this relationship then brings this whole thing of peace. It brings this whole thing of contentment, of living the new normal. That's how we live the new normal. It's by this clockwise thing of saying, God, it's only by your grace that I'm a child. Because of that, because I know that my identity is in you, because you've called me a son, that I can live life full. And I give you all the praise and all the glory, and I love you fully. Now the problem is, that's relationship. You flip over to the next one, to the one on the right, not flip over, but you move to the one on the right, and all of a sudden you see something that we, especially myself, fall into all the time. And we fall into this trap because when we... And it's us moving the other way. And so all of a sudden we have this idea that our relationship with our Father needs to be based in what we do. And we're doing that because we're full of fear, is what it actually is. We're doing it because we're basing what we do out of fear, saying, man, I just want to be good enough. And that's what this obedience, instead of living life full, we just want to be good enough. I just gotta be good enough. I just, you know, God says I gotta love him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. So I gotta read this much time. I gotta invite this many people. I gotta do this. Gotta do this. Gotta do this. You know what that starts to be? This is religion. It's this idea that it's all about what we do. It puts all the weight back on us, and all of a sudden we have this thing of I just gotta be good enough, and God, just start doing this. And so all of a sudden, we find our identity. We don't find an identity. We're trapped in bondage. We're trapped in this bondage of saying, my identity is only found in what I do. My identity is only found if I show up on a Wednesday night, if I say the right things to Pastor Donnie, if I'm doing the right things with my siblings and my brothers and my sisters and my teammates. And my identity is only found if I'm doing good enough at this. That I can only really be a good child of God if I'm doing this right. And all of a sudden we're trapped in this bondage. And you know what this is? This whole cycle, it's just chasing. It's just constantly chasing after trying to be good enough. It's we find our success. We find our identity and how successful we are. If we are saying the right things, you know, if we're popular enough, if we're wearing the right clothes, everything's based upon what we do. And all of a sudden, because everything's based upon what we do and we're trapped in this bondage of we're a slave to ourselves, you know what that causes our relationship with God to be like? The interaction between our identity with God to be like? It causes shame. Because we constantly feel like we're just sinners. Constantly feel like we're never going to be good enough in that. How could God love me? I'm just another screw up. Because now you might not feel that yet. You might just be trapped in the, hey, Donnie, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I just got to keep going. Scott, and you're just trapped in this because you're so afraid that if you give up something, all of a sudden, oh, man, I skipped a devotional. I'm going to hell. Right? And all of a sudden we think that. And you laugh, but there's a time where I beat myself up hardcore if I forgot to do a Devo. If I forgot to spend, you know, man, back in high school, my senior year, I was spending like an hour and a half in the morning in like devotions. I was like super Christian. I was like the guy that was, woohoo, he's awesome. That was my junior year, actually. You know what I suffered with the most the summer between my junior and my senior year? Depression, suicide, all these sorts of thoughts that started coming back to me. Why? Because my identity, because the girl that I liked didn't like me, because the friends that I thought were friends wouldn't ever call me. My identity was all wrapped up in what I did. And all of a sudden, I realized that what I did wasn't good enough. Man, I sinned. I thought bad thoughts. I said some stupid stuff. And all of a sudden, I started feeling all this shame. Shame. How could God love me? How could God use me? Yeah, I know he has a plan for my life, but I don't feel like it right now. Right? So we have this whole thing. And what happens is we have to reverse it. And the only way that we can reverse it is to say, God, I surrender all to you. God, I surrender everything to you. God, I give you everything of me. Because we can't do it any other way. We can't do this good enough thing anymore. We can't be chasing and chasing and chasing, working out of fear, operating in shame. You might not feel to that extent yet, but it'll happen. You might just be right here in the bondage of just realizing that you're just a slave to whatever you do. But when you start to realize that God is only by your grace that I'm called a child of the Most High, and that gives me freedom to do incredible things. That gives me freedom because you are wearing me like a coat. That is the way that we start to see our families totally radically change for Jesus. That's the way that we start to see our friends and our teammates start to say, dude, I got to go to church with you. Dude, I got to go where you're going. Man, who are you talking to? How are you living life like this? Man, how are you that bold? That's the way when we start to understand that our identity is in Christ, that our identity is a child, and that gives us freedom to live life full, to live life bold, to see an entire school changed for Christ. And some of you guys are saying, that's never going to happen, Donnie. Man, don't let that small little lie of a social norm enter in. Because God's saying, no, why not? Why can't that happen? Man, why shouldn't that be happening? Why can't God radically change Perry, radically change Harvey, Heritage, LaMuth, radically change all these different schools, Riverside, every school? Why can't God radically do that? So when we start to see that our identity is found in him, we start to realize that he has called us higher. And so I want to share, and I've shared this story in the parable of the talents before in 6-8 ministry on Sunday morning, but I want to share it again because this is so key in saying, all right, God, now that we understand who you are, where our identity is, and this whole thing, man, I want to step out into everything that you have called us to do, and I want to step out into this. And you look at the parable of the talents, and you can find it in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. And this is how we learn how to live it. This is how we take that next step. You know, the past 4 weeks we've been talking about realigning ourselves with God's normal, and the next couple weeks we're going to be talking about how do we take that step of faith, how do we start living life full. You know, we'll have some people come in and talk about missions, talk about speed the light, talk about these steps, and not just of things to do, but of ways to live, saying, you know what, I'm letting God capture my heart. Right? And so in Matthew 25, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but to sum it up for you, there's a guy, really rich guy, master, calls in 3 servants, is like, hey, I'm going to give you some money, and I'm going to go on a trip, and I want you to take care of the money, and it says that he entrusted them with money. When that word means that when he gave it to them, he goes, spend this money the way that I would spend this money. So spend it like me. Think of me when you're spending this money. What would I do? You do it. And so he gave different amounts to different guys. You know, he gave the most to the first guy. Then he gave kind of a middle amount. And then he gave the least amount to this third guy. And he gave them what's called talents. Now, a talent is basically some money. And what this money represents, you go back. Basically, one talent, a lot of people say some different things. But basically, one talent is more than $250,000. Some people say it's like 30 to 40 years wages, but it's roughly around $300,000. So the guy that was given just one talent, the least, some people are like, oh man, you know, he was only given one talent. You know, what can he really do with that? He was given $300,000. Like, that's a lot. And see, to translate that to us, some of you guys say, Donnie, I'm the only one in my school that really loves Jesus. You know, Donnie, I'm not really that athletic, or I'm not really that popular. Donnie, I'm not really into all that. You know, I'm not really good at speaking. I'm not really great at guitar or piano or singing. I'm not really good at all these different things. And so you're saying, if I had more, I could do more. But what you don't realize is you've been given a lot. That guy with one talent has been given a lot. So you guys know the story. Master comes home. He's like, hey, guys, what have you done with my money? And the first guy was like, hey, I doubled it. The second guy was like, hey, I doubled it. He's like, well done, you guys, good and faithful. And then the third guy was like, I buried it. I didn't do anything. Eeyore, what are you doing? Right? It's this idea that all of a sudden, it's kind of like us. We're like, man, God, if I had more, I would have done more. But I didn't. You know, I only got this. You know, I was just good enough with what I got, right? And so he cast him out, and he was like, oh, you're horrible, and all this stuff. He was ticked. But see, this brings us to kind of that last point on your note sheet there, that it's not about what you have, but rather what you do with what you have. It's not about what you have. Oh, man, if I was just more talented, if I just had a bigger group, if I just had a bigger group of friends, if I was just born in the right family, if I just had the right siblings, if I just had the right friends, the talents, vocal cords, anything, right? But it's not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have, what God's given you right now. And some of you guys say, yeah, you know, and this was me, of saying, hey, I'm doing the best with what I got. I'm doing the best with what I got. You know what? It's not that big of a deal. You know, I'm doing the best with what I got, so my best isn't really that great, apparently. But that's not the mentality either. God doesn't want you to say, well, God, I got up there, I did the best with what I got, you know. You didn't give me much to work with, I just did the best with what I got. No, see, the master entrusted the servants and said, do with this like I would do. So God puts you in the family, and God's saying, guess what? In your math class, study and focus like I, God, would study and focus. Treat your siblings like I would treat your siblings. Treat your mom and dad like I would treat your mom and dad if I was in your shoes. Live your life the way that I would live it if I was you. Because God's given us this gift of life. And so that's what he's trying to get at. And so when you start thinking about that, it's like, oh, snap. That's crazy. It's no longer, well, I did the best with what I got, but it's this idea that, no, I'm supposed to live life the way that God's called me to live, because I need to live life the way that God would live my life, right? Are we really using our talents and abilities, our giftings, the way that God would use them? Because when we start thinking about that, it's like, whew, that's crazy. So tonight, we're going to end with this challenge, and I'll now have the... You guys can pass out if you don't have your sticky notes. Our support staff will pass them out. I want you to keep all of them together. If you hate, what I'm passing out is these are about stacks of about 50 or so. And what this is a buddy of mine back in Kansas started this thing called the Sticky Note Campaign. And if you're on Instagram, some of you guys are, you can actually hashtag Sticky Note Campaign, longest hashtag ever. And you'll see hundreds of students that are actually doing this very thing and or have done it. And what it is I want you every night just to take one sticky note and write down for the next day how you could reflect God. How you could reflect God better. And this doesn't mean it has to be super spiritual. I'm not talking about, well, I am going to win 100 people tomorrow to Jesus, right? Now, I'm not talking about, like, being super spiritual. Remember, it's living life the way that God would live it if he was in your shoes. So, it would be, you might just write down, focus better in math class. Note for tomorrow, right? Or pray in the morning. Or, be nice to mom. Or don't be sarcastic to siblings, right? Just one thing. And so what I'm going to do in the next 5 minutes is we're going to actually put on some music. And I want you to do this I want you to do this every night and just spend about 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, that's no time. I'm going to get really gross. You could take a dump in that time, right? So while you're taking a dump, start thinking about this and praying about this, but I want you to start saying, God, how could I reflect you this next morning, this next day? So do it every night, and then I want you to stick that on your dashboard or in your locker or on a notebook or somewhere. But we're going to start, okay, focus. Focus, I know, I lost you. But what we're going to do is we're going to play some music. Now, I want you to go ahead and spread out, and if you wrote something down already, that's cool, but I want you to leave here with one thing written. I don't want you to fill out the entire stack of Post-its. I want you to do one, and tomorrow, I want you to do another one, and so that every day, you're constantly saying, God, how could I do, you're thinking about, what did you do today? God, how could I do that better? How could I reflect you better? I want to live a life that reflects you. So while we all stand up, can we stand up? And let's spread out. Let's just spend some time.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.